Today on Real Radio.
If you can leave this place today and sin up a storm with no conscience about it, it's because the Holy Spirit does not know you. He's not in you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, most of us have heard the concept that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but how many of us really know how to demonstrate that from God's written word? That's what our teacher, Pastor Jack, focuses on in this presentation that takes a look at a section in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Jesus Christ and His New Home.
They are concluding now that based upon current cultural means of communication, that the United States will be the world's leading producers of idiots in the world. Idiots. The test that they said that children, kids, are now texting to their friends, some of them up to 3,000 texts a month. Some have texted 3,000 times in a week. Some have texted their family members from the room down the hallway in communication. What are you going to order? Hey, Mom, I'd like to have fries, scrambled eggs, hash browns. What are you doing? Hey, Dad, I'm going to be late to the... What is that? But here's the thing. Mental, audible, motor, skill, communication is producing idiots. We know the word idiot. An idiot is a person that has the inability to communicate what's in their head. How do you interview for a job? Text the guy sitting across the table to you. And it's a crisis. You will never get a text from God. I was talking to someone this week, can't tell you who, and they said, we're on the brink. I cannot tell you, I cannot speak to you, I can't give you words, but when I send you a text that will be literally incoherent, it will make no sense, it means that we're on our way. People are communicating in a world today that makes no sense, and God is saying, listen, I not only want to talk to you, God says to the believer, I dwell in you. And it's funny because the world says, hey, if we could only get a chip inside your head, we could actually communicate, rig it up to your brain. You could get a text. You could get conversation in your head. We could make an implant. Hey, God says, what are you doing that for? I'm already here. I love that kind of stuff. Astronomers look out into space and say, they send messages, is there intelligent life? Of course, we think they must know English. Is anybody out there, out there, out there, out there, out there? God says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Could you imagine if NASA heard their ear? I could just see their earphones fly off their ears. God says, Jesus says, hi, it's Jesus here. Come in, over. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. That is, my body's dead to sin. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you, listen, give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That is a guarantee that God says when you drop dead, you wake up in heaven. And not only that, ultimately your body will be resurrected. You think you're living now? We're not even living yet, man. As a believer, we should be the most alive people on the planet. But man, our real life is coming. Gosh, think about it. Oh my goodness, he died. Oh, and you have a funeral and everyone's just, oh, what's the matter? My friend died. And you ask, right? We all ask this question. Was he a believer? Yes, he was a believer. Okay, so you're crying because you miss him, right? Oh, I don't know. I don't know why you just died, you know. Or they died young, or they died as a child, or they died old. Listen. Death for us is an inconvenience. Both for those, you know, who have got to plan for the death and those who have to attend the death. You got to take off work. You got to get an airplane. You got to fly. You got to go to the funeral. And it sounds kind of disrespectful what I'm talking about. But the Christian, don't think the Christian that died is dead. Paul says, when we sorrow as believers, we're not to sorrow like those who have no hope. We can go like this, oh man, yeah, my dad died. I'm going to miss him for a little bit. And then you turn right around and say, but man, if I just calm myself down and realize what he's looking at, and then you start reading Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, and you look at what grandpa's looking at, you'll just go out and get a hamburger or something. I mean, you'll be all pumped up. We're too fixed to this world. The Bible says in Acts 7:47, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Isn't that great? And so Paul in this declaration somewhat rebukes them. Here's another verse, 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Isn't that amazing? Listen, seriously, the Holy Spirit who dwells in a real believer will not allow a real believer to go get their palm read, for example. The Holy Spirit won't even allow it. He will so convict that Christian of that stupid thought because he'll say, hey, you belong to me, and that's demonism, and I will not allow this temple to be shared with idols. Did you know that? Horoscopes. Did you know where that horoscope? Have you ever heard the word zodiac? It's Babylonian. Hebrew is Maseroth. It's to discern your life through the reading of constellations and stars. Did you know God condemns the horoscope? You know, I don't know why. He doesn't condemn it because it's fake. He condemns it because the source of it is real. It's real Satanism. And I've heard Christians say, I've had Christians ask me, oh, what, you know what? I want to ask you this question. What sign are you? And you know what my answer is every time? The cross. What sign are you? Cross. What? I mean, you know, are you a Taurus? Or are you a whatever those names are? Bull. What's his name? The Taurus is the bull, right? So, no, I'm under the sign of the cross. Be careful. The Holy Spirit will not allow the temple of the living God, who you are, to intermingle with satanic issues. He won't do it. Oh, man, let's play Ouija board. Dude, let me tell you, come with me for a week and visit people who, when we talk with them about their demonism and all the stuff that's going on in their satanic home, weird, freaky stuff going on, baby's crib. It's like a movie. Spielberg should come to work with me. You see a baby's crib bouncing on the floor, bouncing in the room, bouncing with no baby in it. Bum, 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 bum. Hello. You don't mess as a Christian with seances and Ouija boards and that demonic stuff. God says, no, I will not have my people mix in that world. Why? Because he will not allow the temple that he dwells in to be with, as the Bible says, Belial, which is a word for Satan. I won't share you, he says, with somebody. Isn't that beautiful? That's the true definition, by the way, of the word from God, jealous. Don't think of human jealousy. That's nuts. God is jealous for you. He won't share you with some other god or gods that are invented by men. He loves you so dramatically, so radically, that when we leave this place in a moment, we are to understand, wow, look at me. I mean, I look like a normal guy. I look normal. Here I go. Normal. I look normal. Nobody knows, though. Inside, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. I'm a child of the living God. And here I go. I'm going into Mimi's. I'm coming in. Does it sound like I'm hungry? I keep bringing up food. I'm starving, man. Sit down there. And they have no idea that sitting in that booth is a child of God, born again, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. That's why, you guys, pornography has no place in our lives. It's stupid. Don't go there. Or whatever it might be. Anything that brings you under the control of it is robbing the temple from God. Isn't it great? The scripture says that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with our bodies. Isn't that cool? He owns you. And people go, I don't like that. I'm my own man. Oh, you think you are. Are you married? Yes, I'm my own man. Then you are. You're not your own man. And then you go, oh, well, I'm my own man. I'm single. Dude, you are not owning yourself because the world snaps its fingers and you're instantly in a turmoil. But let me tell you something right now, single or married. When you understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he owns you, you don't have the right to tell him no. You don't have the right to ignore him. You and I were slaves to Christ, and it's the best thing that could ever happen. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I'm going to let you in on a secret if you don't already know it about yourself and me. We love to be owned. So let me explain. There's nothing greater than for a child to have their parent come up and put their arm around them and just pull them in tight. Or little Miss America or Mr. America, when he's 3 years old, to run up in between his dad's legs and stand there and hang on to those pillars of his legs and peek out at the world. He knows he's so safe when he's doing that. And what is it? Ladies, I'll confess for us men. Normally you would think a woman feels really good and secure when the man puts his arm around her and gives her a gentle squeeze and lets her know it's okay. Anybody get near you, I'm going to knock him out. Well, let me tell you, when you allow us to do that, or when you come up and you say, honey, just squeeze me right now. You know what? A man knows. You know what? I'm owned. It's human nature. Our ridiculous culture has thought, well, that's somehow weak. Let me tell you, every one of us want to be loved. And we want to be loved securely, without condition. Don't tell me. Don't even talk to me if you disagree with me on this. You're going to be wrong. You want to be loved. And then God comes along and says, listen, I'd love to give you a hug, and I've been kind of doing that all your life. Remember when you had this happen and you really even didn't know me, but I said this to you and I encouraged you, or I showed you this or that, or I explained that to you and you didn't know where that came from, or I got you out of that thing. Remember that? You didn't even know it was me giving you a hug. But he said, giving you a hug's not enough. God says, I want to be in your house, your body. I want to dwell. And if that's true, church, there is going to be such a dramatic, radical boldness and beauty about us as believers. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being loud. I'm talking about just walking in confidence and knowing my God loves me, and I've read my Bible, that love letter to me, and he says no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And the Bible says, you know what? God says, I own you. I bought you with the price of my own blood. And that is an announcement. I don't need to let anyone abuse me. Young lady, listen, if somebody's trying to put it on you, you tell them, back off. I belong to God. Put yourself away and get out of my face. If God loves me, then I respect myself. Get out of here. You belong to God. Stand up. Be strong. Be firm. Because your God loves you. He's amazing. And he desires this house for himself. Every building exists for a purpose. At least it should. The next thing I want you to see is that he's a protector of his house. Look at verse 17. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And I need to define what that means. First of all, the temple of God. Listen. The temple in the Old Testament was a meeting place. It had elements of it. The tabernacle in the wilderness after leaving Egypt was before the temple. The tabernacle preceded the temple. It was a meeting place. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New that what was of the old regarding the priesthood, the kings, the offerings, the blood, the Ark of the Covenant, all of that stuff was just a foreshadow of that which was to come. It was to accommodate our weakness. I hope this comes across right. Were you here a couple Sundays ago when I was here last? Because that was Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and because there was an intentional drama to it, what did I do that I've never done before, nor did I ever think I would ever do? Because of the Black Robe Regiment of the Revolutionary period who preached the sermons that brought about the revolution of the United States of America and our founding, I put on a black robe for illustration. And no one said, you're not gonna do that again, are you? You trust me enough to not ever do that again. But you know what? There's some people who, that's how they were brought up, where the pastor wears the robe. Oh, pastor, that reminded me so much of the other church I used to go to. That's kind of cool. Are you ever going to do that again? No. So I'm not knocking robes. Here's the thing. If there are external things in our lives, this is what God is saying, even if it's a temple, even if you think, listen, that you're in danger out there, but the moment you cross the threshold of the property or come into the building, now I'm safe. Why? I'm in the church. Then you've missed it. Oh, we can't talk to God unless we go to the... No, listen. Even in the Old Testament, I can't talk to God unless... What? Do you remember David, whose troops, they were walking through the fields and they began to take the wheat on the Sabbath and they began to eat? And God was fine with it. It was the priest who ran out there and got all bent out of shape. And the same thing happened with Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus, it's awesome. Remember what he said? It still freaks people out today. He says, the man wasn't made for the law, for the Sabbath. All the legalistic people go, No, Jesus says, no, man was not created for the law and for the Sabbath. The law and the Sabbath, that was created for man. It was to bless him. It was to speak to him. It was to point him to God. And so when you walk into a building and it's all ornate or whatever, you guys, I have been to the Kremlin. I've been to Buckingham Palace. I've walked through the White House. I have been, I've been there. I mean, you name it. I think I've seen the crown jewels. I've been to the blue room, the green room. I've been there. You don't walk in there and go, oh my goodness, I think I'm the Queen of England. You don't think that. You don't walk into the White House and say, oh my gosh, I think I'm the president. You're crazy if you think that. You don't walk into a church, no matter how ornate. I've been in the Vatican. You don't walk into the Vatican and say, oh my gosh, I think I'm the Pope. I think I'm the Pope. You don't do that. Why? When you see things and you get so impressed with the monuments, the icons, the statues, the building, the thing, it is the religiosity of man embracing things that are temporal and they'll crumble away. And God says, get it out of the way, move it, clear it out. Because I'm coming in. Do you remember when Solomon's temple was built? And it was really, it's really cute. You got to read Chronicles and it's super, man. It's great. They're all getting ready. They got the priesthood ready. They got all their gowns on. They're all ready to go. They got all the stuff. They got all the silver where the silver's supposed to be. They got all the gold where the gold's supposed to be. Priests have got their little turban bonnet things on. They're all ready to go. No doubt, you know, there's, oh, and a big deal, and it's a big deal. You know that there's got to be coordinators. They're all checking. Are you right? Okay, they're, you know, like getting ready. Move that. Stand up straight. Okay, and they're all doing it. They're all getting ready. And they're getting ready to dedicate the temple to God. Guess what happens? You know what happens, right? Totally outside protocol. Nobody had this on their clipboard. The Holy Spirit descended and filled the temple. And light came out of the temple, so brilliant and so bright, before anybody got in it, that when the priest tried to go into the temple, the power of God wouldn't let him in. Can you imagine? Oh, man. What in the world? Try it again. Go. We got to get this show on the road. Come on. The sundial says 12 noon. Let's do it. And they go in again. The glory of God, it says, had filled the temple and nobody could enter in. If the glory of God fills your temple, nobody, nothing of this world can get in there. So we do this stuff. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. And we're, what are we doing? We're in this massive clash. You have been bought with a price. You're brand new. You're a new creation of Christ. So why do we gravitate back to the things of the world? Well, everybody's doing it. That's not the answer. And that's why now, if you try to do something that you ought not to be doing, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't want this to happen, and you try to do it, think of that. The light of the Spirit's pushing it back. It's pushing it back. And God help the man or woman who can get into the darkness of this world, and there's no resistance. The Holy Spirit doesn't live there. If you can leave this place today and sin up a storm with no conscience about it, it's because the Holy Spirit does not know you. He's not in you. And I don't know about you, but that should make you sick to your stomach and terrify you. Because just like in this life, you want to be owned by someone who loves you. Then why not allow yourself to be owned by the one who ultimately gave his life because he loved you?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Jesus Christ and His New Home. It's really a mini-series that takes a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples for the Spirit of Almighty God. Again, the title, Jesus Christ and His New Home, and it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you have not had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately, why not pay us a visit as soon as you can? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio. You can email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack and learn more about our Real Radio Book of the Month. But you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can subscribe to and get it via email. More and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing and writing in, telling us how Words to the Wise really is playing a key role in their growth and scriptural knowledge. Here's how one Words to the Wise subscriber expressed his appreciation. Thank you for the emailed Words to the Wise today of Giants in Your Life. It caused me to remember God's goodness and faithfulness in my life. Dealing with giants? There have been many in my 91 years, and I need to be reminded as new giants want to pop up again and again. I need to remember and give God thanks, and you too. I love that letter. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button right there on the right that says devotional, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.